Good to see everyone here this morning. We do have some visitors with us. We want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. And we also would like you to know that if there are any questions at all about anything that you hear taught or anything that you see practiced, anything at all, feel free to ask. And I would be more than glad to make myself available. Sit down with you. Open our Bibles together and hopefully open our hearts as well. And let's see what God says from His Holy Word. The study this morning is going to be taking place from the book of Matthew and the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter, we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower this morning. Having a heart that is equipped to bear fruit for the Master. How does that occur? And are there individuals that cannot bear fruit for the Master? Well, I suggest to you, friend, that yes, there are people who cannot bear the fruit of the Master, not because God predetermined that they couldn't, or fixed it so that they couldn't, but because of our own choices in our life, because of our lack of taking to us what God has provided for us, we cannot bear fruit. And so it's our fault. So we need to have a heart that is receptive, first and foremost, to God's Word. We need to have a heart that is committed to growing so that we can be the people that God wants us to be. In this study, we're going to see the importance of developing the proper attitude towards the Word of God. Do we have that kind of attitude at the present time? I hope so. But there may be some who do not. And we need to realize that it's our responsibility to equip our hearts so that we can receive the Word of God and let it bear fruit in our life. The strength, the durability, and fruitfulness of our faith is determined by the attitude we choose. We make the choice whether we're going to value God's Word or not. We choose in this life what is more valuable to us. Are we going to choose fancy cars, nice house? Are we going to choose things that are material in nature and put them as priorities in our life so that we crowd out the Word of God? What do we deem as most valuable to us? Is it our physical well-being or is it our spiritual well-being? Are we more concerned about getting out on time today so that we can go get us some lunch? Or are we more concerned today about feeding our souls with the life-giving Word of God? In the book of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell among stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, there's the parable. Now, Jesus' disciples wanted to know what this parable meant. So he explains it to them, beginning in verse 18. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower," Jesus says. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In this parable, Jesus is demonstrating why it is that some reject the Word of God and others accept it. Now, this is, first of all, for the benefit of His disciples who were about to go out into the world and proclaim the message, the gospel of the kingdom. So He wanted to prepare them and help them understand. We need to understand the same thing. We're not going to be successful 100% of the time. And when we are not successful, that does not mean it's our fault. It means that people simply do not have a heart that they can receive the Word of God. It also tells us as teachers that, you know, when the Word of God goes forth, there are going to be people who receive it, but then they will disappoint you later by falling away. Whether it be because of persecution or because, like Demas, simply loved the world and returned back to it. Why is it then that some accept but many reject the gospel? Well, it's the condition of the heart. That is what determines the reception of the Word and the fruit that is produced. Now, whether or not we are willing to accept it depends, again, upon our attitude, our heart, towards the Word of God. The power of the gospel. Now, the Word of God is God's power to save man. Romans 1, verse 16. It is the power of God, and there's nothing faulty with the seed, nothing faulty with the Word of God. If I am lost, friend, it's not God's fault because He doesn't have the power, nor is it His Word's fault because it doesn't have the power. If I am lost, it is my fault because I will not receive what God has provided me. And that's going to depend upon my heart. You know, there are some people that cannot receive love. They cannot feel love because of things that they have done in their life. And they have hardened their hearts against the things that are good in this world. And people harden their heart towards the Word of God exactly the same way. We determine the condition of our heart. Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 13, verses 9 through 17 is one place we'll be looking at here in just a moment. But also, Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, and Ezekiel 12 and verse 2, our heart is a choice, the state of our heart, the condition of our heart. In fact, in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, verses 30 through 32, God, through Ezekiel, is telling the people there to repent. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Why? And then He says, get yourself a new heart. We determine the state of our heart, whether we will receive or reject the Word of God. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, the wise man says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Whose responsibility is it to prepare and to guard my heart? It's mine. I control my attitude. In Matthew the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 13, Jesus, in answering the question the apostles posed to Him, why do you speak to them in parables? He says, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. The hearts of this people have grown dull. That is, they didn't start out this way. They had grown to this particular place in their thinking. They started out just like everyone else, innocent. And through the events that take place in our life, now remember this though, the events that take place in our life, the circumstances in our life, do not in and of themselves control or determine our attitude. It is our response to those things that come into our life that determines our attitude. And our attitude is, of course, the mindset that we have towards these things. How do we respond to the tragedies in life or the evils in life? How do we respond to the corruption that is all around us? How do we respond to temptation? How do we respond? That's going to depend upon our attitude towards the Word of God. And when people fail to develop the proper attitude, then they will equip themselves later on down the road to not be able to receive the gospel at all. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. They have grown sluggish and lazy in their thinking and reasoning due to their lack of spiritual concern and because of the corruption that they've allowed to enter into their hearts. Their ears are hard of hearing. They were inattentive and sensible and unconcerned regarding the words of life. Therefore, they would not hear. And you could even say they could not hear. But it's that they could not because they could not, but because they would not. They had so conditioned their hearts that they could not. And it says, and their eyes have closed. Who closed their eyes? They did. They shut off their mind from the Word of God, refused to see it, refused to understand it, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. They refused the Word of God because of their stubbornness, because of their rebellion. They resisted the truth. And how many passages in the New Testament and the Old Testament as well mentions this attitude? Romans chapter 1 talks about the Gentiles. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about those who receive not a love for the truth. What happens to them? Well, they don't accept the truth. And they will all be condemned because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They wanted something else instead of what God offered them. So they could not see with their eyes because of their mindset. Not because they were incapable in and of themselves to change their mind and their attitude. They could. We determine the condition of our heart. Going back to the book of Proverbs in the 4th chapter, in verse 1, Solomon is saying to his son, give ear. Hear and give attention. He says, let your heart retain my words in verse 4. Okay? This is something that Solomon is saying, you do. You have a responsibility. You let your heart retain the words of God. It's your choice. Do not forget the Word of God, the Word of wisdom, the Word of understanding. You turn away. Do not turn away or forsake wisdom. You turn away from sin. You reject those things that are wrong, but you do not forget nor turn away from wisdom. Let love come into your heart. Love God's Word. Love wisdom. Get and exalt wisdom. You seek it out and you prioritize it in your life. And then you will have understanding, verses 6 through 9. And receive and take firm hold of instruction. You take it in and you lay hold of it and you never let it go. And you stay away from evil because evil can corrupt you. What happens to people when they stumble sometimes? Well, they'll fall into some sin. And what they do is they allow that sin then to change the way they view things, change their attitude, so that they can't see the truth. They allow evil, they get in that wrong path, and then pride begins to take over, and they're unwilling to repent and do the things that they ought to do. Therefore, stay away from evil. Keep your feet away from the path of sin. And in verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Whose responsibility was it to listen? Incline your ear to my saying. Who has the responsibility and the ability to bend their ear towards God? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Who has the ability and the responsibility to cling to the words of God? Keep them in the midst of your heart. Who has the responsibility to keep? That is to guard, as we talked about in Bible study this morning. That's what we are to do. Keep your heart with all diligence, verse 23 says, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Focus on the things that are ahead from God that He's promised you. And your eyelids look right before you. Look in the right place. Look for God's instructions, as Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 says. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. They had the choice. So let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Consider. Because what you do in your life is determined by how you think. And so you think about going in the right way. Friend, let me tell you something. If you don't ponder and you don't plan out to go in the right way, you won't. It's just that simple. You're not going to accidentally fall into the straight and narrow gate and walk in that straight way. So ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Allow God's Word to dictate every step. Prove all things that you do. Prove all things that you believe. Examine your thoughts and your heart in the light of God's Word. And do not turn to the right or to the left. Friend, you can fall off of a log on either side. Remove your foot from evil. And that, all of that is our responsibility. So back to Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Well, Mark's account, a little shorter, but the same thing, except he adds Satan comes immediately. So he identifies who that wicked one is of Mark 13. And they all three list here. They all heard the word, but they did not understand it. They did not understand it, therefore they could not believe. And it's interesting that Satan is involved in all of this. And how is he involved in it? What does Satan do to people who don't have a real interest in the Word of God? Well, he tries his best to make sure that they never get that interest in the Word of God. Because you know what? He realizes, Satan knows this, that if you truly develop an interest for the Word of God, you can be saved. In fact, that's what Jesus says in Luke 8, in Luke's account, lest they should believe and be saved. They could be saved, but they're going to have to receive the Word of God first. They're going to have to believe the Word of God. You see, the nature of the soil would not permit the penetration on the part of the seed of the gospel. And this was the condition of the majority of those Jews that Jesus dealt with every day. They are the ones that are listed back up beginning in verse 13, that their eyes they had closed, their ears were stopped up. They would not receive the truth. The person who hears the gospel but never comes to saving faith, that's who this person is, is like the Jews of Romans chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, that the Apostle Paul prays for. They went about to seek their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God, or God's means of making them righteous. This person hears the gospel. They knew who Jesus was. They had heard all about Him. Many of them had heard Him preach. They had heard His disciples, but they would not believe. They had seen His miracles, but they would not believe. Satan's influences are numerous in life. They're all around us. And in harmony with free will, Satan uses those influences to try to keep the Word of God away from us. Because, as Paul said in Romans 1:16, it is God's power to save man. So Satan has always tried to keep God's Word away from people, lest they could be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the Jews required a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. They were not seeking after God's revelation. And thus, they are the natural man of chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The natural man, the one who only saw the things that's material. They do not have the interest in spiritual things. Not because God did not miraculously allow them to, but that's the choice that they had made in life. They value the things of this world over the things of God's revelation. They did not study, these Jews that required a sign, they had not truly studied to understand the old law, lest they understand who Jesus was. They did not study for truth's sake. Thus, they rejected the Word of God. The rocky ground here in Matthew 13, 20 and 21, this is who hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy. Okay, so he hears the Word and immediately receives with joy. Mark says immediately receive it with gladness. They receive the Word with joy, Luke says. They want it. They accept it and they grab a hold of it. Yet, has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the Word, immediately he stumbles. Now Luke adds this, and these have no root, who believe for a while. Jesus said these people are believers. They believe, and they believe for a while. Now, when certain things come up because of persecution for the Word's sake, tribulation, they stumble. Temptation comes along. Now, what Jesus is describing here is a hard substratum of rock that with a thin layer of soil on top of it. In other words, the soil is not very fertile and cannot retain moisture. You know, out in the front and during the summer, perhaps you notice, you know, how brown some of the grass gets. And it's odd, isn't it? How it's in this line that goes right down, right out to the towards the front. It's just this one little line that's brown. Why is that? Because there's rock under there where they had done the work and they had buried the water lines and the sewage line. And there's rock there, and the soil is not very deep, so there's not much moisture in there. And so the grass turns brown when it gets dry. When we lived in Pine Bluff, we had our field lines out front, and the same thing would happen where our field lines were in front of our house. There's grass on top of it, and it was beautiful as long as it rained a lot. But when it didn't rain for a while, we have brown lines in our yard. Seed will germinate, but it cannot produce a deep root system because of the status of the heart, the condition of the heart. Some seed fell among rock. As soon as it was sprung, it withered away because it lacked moisture, Luke 8 and verse 6 says. Now, this is the person who receives with joy. They believe for a while. They had life. You see, the plant actually came up. The seed germinated, and it sprouted life, a living faith. Some people want to argue whether these people were saved or not. Well, there's life, spiritual faith. They had received the Word of God, just like in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Those who received the Word were baptized. They had received it and obeyed it. And they persevered for a while. But when the persecution and temptation came along, they fell. They received it both intellectually and emotionally. I know many commentators want to just emphasize the emotional part. They received it emotionally, but you know what? They believed. That is an intellectual exercise of the mind. You see the evidence, you hear the evidence, you understand the evidence, and thus you believe. And Jesus said they believed. Just like Simon the sorcerer in Acts the 8th chapter. The Holy Spirit said he believed, and he was baptized. He was a believer. So intellectually and emotionally both, they accept the Word, but yet they stumble. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let me tell you what this man is like that Jesus is describing. He's describing the person that doesn't do what Peter tells the Christians scattered throughout Asia to do. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, Peter says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an interest will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." They had received the Word. They were saved, just as Peter says here. They were cleansed from their old sins. They were Christians. But what happened? They let go of their faith. They did not do the things that Peter says in this very text. They did not add to their faith. Thus, they did not mature. They did not grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thus their faith really was not permitted to go down and really take strong root. So when the trials came, they didn't have the faith to sustain themselves. They were once saved by that faith, but then they lost it. They lost their faith. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, as the Apostle Paul is laying out an analogy for the church at Corinth to consider. You have the Israelites. They were delivered from Egyptian bondage. They were taken through the Red Sea, under the cloud and in the sea, and joined unto Moses, baptized unto Moses. And then they were taken and given the law. But the Scripture says, not many of them was God well pleased. Why? They were saved. They were delivered. But then they let their hearts turn away from God and they lost their faith. What happened when they got to the edge of Canaan, the edge of the Promised Land? They sent in the 12 spies. 10 of them come back with an evil report. What happened? Well, they listened to that evil report. They didn't have the faith to go in and conquer that land, did they? Why not? They allowed the trial, that trial, they looked at that and they heard the 10 spies report. The children of Anak are there. They have great walled cities. Giants are in the land. And we can't do it. Their faith died. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul there is writing to holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, Christians. And he's warning these Christians that if they're not careful, they could stumble. Verse 12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And it goes on and it talks about, again, those children of Israel. Many of them stumbled in the wilderness. Why? Because they did not have the faith to continually, constantly, consistently obey God. We see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They lost their faith. And in chapter 5, in verse 12 of Hebrews, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." These Christians had not matured as they should have. Thus, they were in danger of falling. What was going to happen when the trials came? They were not mature enough to handle it. And so, what Jesus is saying here, there are those who receive with joy. They cling to the Lord, and everything looks to be great, but then they do not mature as they should. They don't allow their faith to really penetrate into their heart. And listen, young people, listen. You can't get to heaven on your parents' faith or your grandparents' faith. You have to develop your own faith. And there's only one way to do that. That's from the Word of God and doing the things that God would have you to do. So they failed to grow. And in fact, here's the warning, though. You get into chapter 6, and it talks about the impossibility for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. They have turned their back on the Lord. Why? Because they had not grown. They had tasted the heavenly gift. They had been partakers of the Holy Spirit. They had been enlightened, but they fell away. And the thorny ground here in Matthew chapter 13 is the one who hears the Word. And again, all of these make that statement. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But yet, they allow the deceitfulness of riches to choke the Word, and he becomes unfruitful. The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, Mark says, choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and thus they bring no fruit to maturity. This seed falls among thorns, and it had to compete for sunlight and nutrients. Weeds will choke healthy plants, leaving them weak and stunted, by sapping them of their sources of nourishment. When I was growing up, we had a garden in the backyard. My dad always had a pretty big garden. And he would always plant about four rows of corn. And then we'd have peas and beans and all kinds of other stuff. On the north side of the property, we had woods. I used to hunt in those woods, squirrel hunt and all kinds of hunting. I love to go out in those woods. But you know, if you're standing at the back door looking, over here are the woods, and the rows are running in this way, they're running north and south, and you could see on this end, the corn stalks, they were short. On the other end, they were tall. The same thing with the beans and the peas, and not much fruit produced down here on this end of the garden. That was closest to the woods. Now, that was good soil, but it was just close enough to the woods that the trees sapped the nutrients out, and they couldn't grow up to maturity, and a lot of times didn't bear any fruit at all. And that's what Jesus is describing here, except this time it's thorns that come up among the seed and the plant that springs forth from God's Word. The thorny soil represents one who is made alive by the gospel, but is suffocated by the temporal concerns, the pleasures of this life. Thus, the believer does not produce fruit. And materialism is a certain recipe for crop failure. You know that, don't you? The biggest problem in the church today is that the world is too much in it. And we need to become focused, and we need to cure our divided heart. Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters." We, hopefully, are good ground hearers. Those who will indeed receive the seed. We hear the Word, we understand it, and we bear fruit. Now, we hear it, and we understand it because we have a heart to receive and understand it. We desire it. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. Thus we accept it and we keep it. And thus we bear fruit. The good ground here. Now again, we control our heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Friend, what kind of heart do you have? Do you have one that hears and understands the Word, one that receives the Word of God, one that keeps God's Word and perseveres through times of trial because of the faith that you've allowed to develop in your heart from God's Word and then bear fruit in your life? What kind of fruit do you bear? Well, you know, first thing that we often think about when we talk about bearing fruit for the Lord is we think of winning souls. And certainly that is part of it. Acts 8, verse 4, the disciples were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said regarding the church of Thessalonica that he and the apostles didn't have to do anything in that area because they had went out and they had preached the gospel. They had spread the Word. But practical holiness, I think, kind of back up a little bit. Before we're successful in winning souls, we're going to have to successfully control ourselves. We ourselves are going to have to bring ourselves under the control of God's instructions. Practical holiness. We're to become the servants of righteousness, Romans 6. And in chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friend, that's your choice. And that's your responsibility. We are to change our mind and we are to live in accordance with God's will. The fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we are, as we sang just a few moments ago, to be like thee. We are to have the attitude and the mindset of Jesus Christ in us. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. The attitude of humility, the attitude of submission. We must have that attitude and we make that choice. And as Galatians 5, 22 and 23 gives us the fruit of the Spirit, that's our responsibility to develop that. Of course, we see in the Scripture, Acts 17, verses 11 and 12, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And if they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Those with a good and honest heart received the Word of God with meekness, James 1, 21, which is able to save your souls. Meekness, that is the attitude of submitting to God's will, allowing God to mold you and make you through His Word. Being willing to make changes in our life as those in Ephesus burned their books. When they learned that what they were doing was wrong, they went and they made a big bonfire. They burned all their sorcery books. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, that we're not forgetful hearers, but doers of the work. We look into that perfect law of liberty. We need to make changes. We need to allow God's Word to change us. And thus we bear fruit. We bear the fruit that God would have us to do. In Psalms, the first chapter, in verses 1 through 3, here's the heart that we are to have. Is this you? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Is that you? Do you desire and delight in the law of the Lord? The Word of God can save anyone who is willing to receive it. If you will to do His will, you will know His doctrine. James 1, verses 18 through 25, it's our responsibility. If we're willing to receive the Word of God with meekness, it can save our souls and will. One can be saved from his past sins but fail to grow and stumble and be lost. One can be spiritually alive but allow the world to choke out his spiritual life. We choose the condition of our heart. We will choose this morning whether to allow God's Word to sink deep, settle in, into our heart and produce a faith that is alive and working. Or we can choose this morning. Everyone here can choose the rocky soil type of heart. Say, you know, I don't really care about the stuff that preacher says. I don't really care about all that junk because, you know, I think it's a bunch of foolishness. All that religious talk. Or maybe you're not quite that brazen. Just say, you know, I'm okay as I am, and I don't need that Bible. I think that God will save me as I am. And refuse to listen to the Word of God. Maybe you're satisfied where you are spiritually. And you've never really taken the time to study. And allow Satan to continually take the truth away. I was studying with a man one time, a young man, about once saved, always saved is what it was. And we would look at a passage and I'd ask him what it said. And he says, well, it says that, you know, this person is saved and he could be lost. I said, that's what it says, isn't it? He says, yeah. And you know what he did that evening? He would go and he would call his preacher. And he'd allow his preacher to take the Word of God out of his heart. And say, well, that's just not what that means. I know that's what it says, but that's not what it means. Well, that's what some people do. They're satisfied where they are. They don't want to change for whatever reason. Or maybe you are like the heart that the seed has fallen and you've received it and you've become a Christian and you're just not growing like you should. And maybe you've even stumbled away. You've fallen. You can get back up. Or maybe you have allowed the world to enter in and to choke your spiritual life right out of you. James said in James 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God, and whosoever maketh himself a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We cannot allow the world to compete in our heart for ground. Or maybe you this morning are an individual that is open and receptive to the truth. You want to know what it is. You delight in the law of the Lord. And you are committed to growing. You are committed to being the person that God wants you to be. And you're willing to look in His Word to find out who that is. And you're willing to be focused and loyal to the Lord. You're not going to let other things compete and choke out your spiritual life. And thus, you're going to bear fruit. Are you bearing fruit for the Master? If not, could it be for one of the two reasons listed there? Either you haven't developed a sound, solid, deep faith, or maybe you've allowed the world to come into your life and choke your fruit out. The Apostle Paul talks about these two, really, two different kinds of hearts. You've got the person who despises the riches of his goodness and forbearance and his long-suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you're treasuring up for yourselves wrath against the day of wrath and the righteous revelation, the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Hope that's not you. I hope that you are the person who seeks for eternal life. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Is that you? What kind of heart do you have this morning? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is your heart right with God? If you never obeyed, it's not. Why don't you come forward this morning and confess your faith in Christ? Receive with joy the Word of God. Be buried with Him in baptism and be raised to walk in newness of life. But remember, you must continue to grow. And you must continue to keep the weeds out. And bear fruit for the Master. Maybe you are here this morning and you have not grown as you should and you've had weeds to overtake your faith. Make things right. Get back to where you ought to be. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come, Mr. Thomas?